Well, here's a question. What do you look forward to? Retiring? Maybe getting a new job, finishing a project, or getting that health procedure done and accomplished? How about going on vacation? Or a double bacon cheeseburger? You look forward to that? There's some good places you can get those here in our town. How about getting life back to normal after COVID? How about no more smoke? Oh man, looking forward to things is part of the human condition. You know, we have this desire for things and we hope they'll come into place, but sometimes we're disappointed. I gotta say, the world seems to get crazier every day and it gets harder. It doesn't seem to get any easier, but as believers, we can still have hope. You see, there's lots to look forward to. For all you Frank Sinatra fans, do you know what is written on his tombstone? The best is yet to come. Now, I don't know if the best is yet to come for Frank. I'm not aware of any evidence he knew Jesus. But for believers, the best is yet to come. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We have been skipping around, I know, in the Apostles' Creed, but because we want to conclude with the church and the communion of saints, and we're going to be Skyping with our missionary Tim and Jenny Kangas from Cambodia next week. But today's focus in the Apostles' Creed is, I believe in the resurrection of the body and the life everlasting. Those are both things we can look forward to. Before we get any deeper in, let's say the Apostles' Creed together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He seated at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Lord, would you give us wisdom and insight into how to live in light of these truths? We thank you that as your children, we have a lot to look forward to. The best is yet to come because of you. Help us in this troubled world to be shining lights of your peace, of your grace, of your presence. And give us the words we need to grab onto today. In your name I pray, amen. Well, like I mentioned, there are great things ahead for those who put their trust and faith in Jesus. You see, what lies ahead for us as believers are new bodies and never-ending life. I don't know about you, but my mind makes promises my body can't keep. And when I forget to pay attention to my age, my body pays for it. Yesterday, Kyle and I climbed Mount Thielson. I got very close to the top. Kyle, with a rope, made it all the way to the top. I feel good today, but don't come ask me to play tennis tomorrow. It's going to be kind of rough, you know? Is anybody else's body wearing out, sagging, creaking, expanding, getting dimmer, grown weary? You know, pretty much everybody, yeah. And for you folks in your 30s, your day's coming. But this week I ran across an article called 51 Signs You're Getting Older. And it was actually in large print, which I thought I appreciated. Here's a few things that caught my attention. You know you're getting older when everything hurts and what doesn't hurt doesn't work. The gleam in your eyes is from the sun hitting your bifocals. You look forward to a dull evening. You sit in a rocking chair and can't get it going. Your knees buckle and your belt won't. Your back goes out more than you do. You sink your teeth into a steak and they stay there. You have a dream about prunes. Your ears are hairier than your head. Oh. When you bend over, you look for something else to do while you're down there. Well, can you relate? The old gray Mary ain't what she used to be, and I'm not talking about your spouse, I'm talking about myself. I know some of you have already had hips replaced, new knees, shoulders, teeth, whatever else, But guess what? We in Christ are slated to receive the much improved new additions. That is going to be great. It's interesting, the Apostles' Creed says resurrection of the body, not resurrection of the dead. That will happen. There will be a resurrection. Those who put their faith and trust in Christ will go to be with God. Those who have not will be separated from him eternally. And that will be very serious. But it's interesting, our redemption is going to include the body. We will be made whole, redeemed, body, soul, and spirit. The ancient Greeks and even Hindus kind of viewed the body as a container for the soul. But we're not just this package. We are whole beings, and God's going to redeem all of us. Now, we are going to have new bodies, and we're going to talk about that. But it's really going to be amazing. Redemption, in a sense, will not be complete until we have our new bodies. And then it's going to be amazing. Well, Paul wrote a lot about our new bodies in the resurrection chapter, you can almost call it, in 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to talk a little bit before about the new bodies we're going to get. What has to happen in order for us to get them? And there was a Sunday school teacher in a little church similar to ours. She was downstairs and teaching the kids, and she asked them, what do you have to do to get to heaven? And she expected them to say, well, you've got to admit your sins and believe in the Lord Jesus and turn away from wrong and trust in what he's done for you. And she called on Timmy, and Timmy said, I know what you have to do. And she said, what's that? You have to die. Well, yeah, he was right. If you want to get to heaven, if you want eternal life, you're going to have to die, but you better know Jesus first. And those who put their trust and faith in him will live with him forever in heaven. Well, Hebrews 9:27 tells us the death will happen. It says, just as man is destined to die once, and then it goes on to say, after that to face judgment. The good news is for believers, Jesus has dealt with death once and for all. 2 Timothy tells us, Christ Jesus abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. I'm glad that our bodies dying isn't the end of the story for believers. Well, let's take a look at 1 Corinthians 15, 51 to 57. He goes on to say, listen, I tell you a mystery. This is the nursery worker's favorite verse. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. But anyway, in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with the immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that has been written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. He gives us a victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. As believers, we do not need to fear death. Many of us fear the process. I don't want to have a painful death. I don't know anybody that does. But we can know Jesus has been there and back. And ultimately, we do not have to die forever. There's an old saying that goes, born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. For those who have come to know God, we need not fear. Well, when it comes to our resurrection, we know it's going to take place instantly, in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye. Blink and you'll miss it. Well, actually you won't. If you're in Christ, you'll be there. One moment the dead will be in the ground, the next moment they'll be raised to life. And this is going to happen when Jesus returns. The last trumpet's going to sound and his people will meet him in the air. That is going to be great. And we'll be changed once and for all. We'll receive our new bodies. We'll go from mortal to immortal, perishable to imperishable. And our individual personalities, they're going to kind of be the same. We'll recognize each other, but everything related to mortality, death, sin, and irritation of one another and annoyance will be done with once and for all. Well, here's the question, and we probably have it, and the Corinthians had it. What will our new bodies be like? Well, Paul shed some light on the subject in 1 Corinthians 15, 35 to 44. He said, but someone may ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body will they come? Good question. But he goes on to say, and he makes an analogy. He says, how foolish. What you sow does not come to life unless it dies. When you sow, you do not plant the body that will be, but just a seed, perhaps of wheat or of something else.
But God gives it as a body just as he determined. And to each kind of seed, he gives its own body. All flesh is not the same. Men have one kind of flesh. Animals have another. Birds another. And fish another. Verse 40, there's also heavenly bodies and there are earthly bodies. But the splendor of the heavenly body is of one kind. The splendor of the earthly body is another. The sun has one kind of splendor, the moon another, and the stars another, and the stars differ from star in splendor. So it will be with the resurrection of the dead. And here he begins to answer the question. The body that is sown perishable, it shall be raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It's sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. This is going to be amazing. We will have new bodies that will be resurrected. They'll be very different from the current ones. And frankly, the longer I live, the gladder I am. Well, this passage tells us four things about our resurrected bodies. The first thing is they're imperishable. The body that's sown perishable is raised imperishable. You know, Adam and Eve, they had natural bodies, and they were perfect for living on earth at the time. But they sinned, and then guess what happened? Everything went downhill, including their bodies. And instead of living forever like they were designed to, they became mortal and they got old and weaknesses and they weren't so handsome and beautiful anymore. And then they died. And that's been the case ever since. And that's why Genesis says, from dust we came, to dust we return. But our resurrection bodies, on the other hand, are going to be raised imperishable. They're not going to experience sickness, decay, deterioration, death. Boy, what's to come is sure going to be good. The one thing I do think about is good old Lazarus. Remember, he, brother of Mary and Martha, he died. He was put in the tomb, wrapped up. And then Jesus came and eventually said, Lazarus, come out. Well, Lazarus was dead. And guess what? He came out. But you know what? He didn't stay undead forever. He had to die again. I imagine he'd be talking to Mary and Martha. You know, that dying was a lousy process. I was sick and I struggled and then I died and then it was great. I was with God and then I came back and I have to do this over again. Oh, hit me with a club or something so it's fast. I don't know. He didn't say that, but maybe he did. I don't know. But he had to die again. No fun. You know, when Jesus rose from the grave, death was done for him. His resurrection body will never die, neither will yours. And it's not going to age or decline. Now, I've talked with my kids a few times. We've talked about heaven and we've wondered, you know, can you go bungee jumping without a bungee in heaven? Will you just bounce? I don't know. Probably not. I don't, because all stupidity will be left here. Not there. So we're not going to be testing God out. What happens if I try to, you know, run through your pearly gate? We're not going to have those thoughts. Stupidity will be done. Won't that be nice? One pastor put it this way. People say you can't put an old head on young shoulders, but in the resurrection, the wisdom of maturity will be combined with the strength of youth. Don't you wish you could take everything you know now and put it together with all that strength you had when you were young? Oh, wow, look out. We'd be strong enough to do what we'd like to do with enough sense to use it to do the right thing instead of the dumb things we all did. Well, verse 43 tells us, because of the fall, our body is sown in dishonor. But guess what? It'll be raised in glory. We were made perfect in God's image, but that image got messed up big time. But our flawed physical selves won't stay that way. They'll be raised glorious. We won't have sin scarring ourselves anymore. Our resurrection bodies will be honorable. They'll be perfectly suited for heaven, for praising God and enjoying all of the new heavens and new earth. I love that. We won't have sin. We won't be physically weak. We won't be intellectually not so smart. That'll be great. Some people think that based on a certain number of Bible passages, part of being raised glorious will be that we may have an aspect of luminescence to us. I don't know. We won't quite glow in the dark, but because there won't be any dark. But, you know, think about the face of Moses. He's on the mountain in the presence of God. He comes down and he's glowing. You know, think about the transfiguration of Jesus. He's up on the mountain and the guys are going, whoa, this is really trippy. I don't know. But we do know there will be a brightness, a radiance, a glory in some capacity. Not only around us, but in our resurrected bodies too. It could be figurative, but Daniel 12 says, those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the expanse, and those who turn to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. And then even Jesus said, then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Again, it could be figurative, so don't go telling everyone, Pastor Mike says I'm going to glow in the dark when I get to heaven. But it is going to be glorious. It's going to be really amazing. But not only will our new bodies be imperishable and glorious, but powerful. It says it's sown in weakness, it is raised in power. I used to play basketball with one of my buddies in seminary. He was a former Marine. And if you throw an air ball up in the air, he'd say, get that weak stuff out of here. He yelled that at me a lot. But anyway, wouldn't it be great to have no fatigue or weakness? I actually woke up feeling very, whatever the grammar is, great. I felt great. That works. Because I slept like a log after hiking 11 hours yesterday. But you know, with our new bodies raised in power, we'll make the Energizer Bunny get tired. Won't that be great? We'll have more energy than your average three-year-old on Earth. Isn't that going to be super? We see these kids going, and we'll be like, oh yeah? And they'll be like, whoa! This will be super. No more disease, debilitation, diets, diarrhea, indigestion. No more temptation, tantrums, tripping, slipping, starvation, sticker slivers, or sin. The flaws and frailty of today are going to be so yesterday, as some people would say. One pastor said, our new bodies will have to have more energy, more physical capability, more stamina, more athleticism, more speed, more coordination, more durability than ever before. Not because we're going to need the body less, but because we're going to need it more and more. There's going to be so many amazing things to do and experience, and God is going to suit us exactly for the task. My friend, and you, many of you know her, Juliana Kelsall, she has MS, which is continuing to render her body not working well at all. She's no longer going to be in a wheelchair or bed bound, but she's going to be kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy. And that is going to be so amazing. Oh, it's going to be fabulous. Our bodies are also going to be spiritual. It is sown a natural body. It's raised a spiritual body. Our natural bodies are made for this world. Our spiritual bodies will be perfectly attuned to the next. We will always be, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do now? And we will do it. Won't that be great? Instead of not listening to that hunch or not doing that or saying, get lost, I want to do my thing. Oh, we'll be there. 1 Corinthians 15 says, flesh and blood can't inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Our heavenly bodies will be just right for spiritual living. Now, we're not really going to be only spirits because spirits don't have bodies. But our resurrected bodies will be amazing. We won't need physical substance, sustenance, or other things to sustain us with life because we'll have it. We'll be adapted for forever. That's going to be great. I guess we better practice being humble because we're going to get better looking every day. But we'll be giving glory to God all the way along. It will not be about us whatsoever. When Paul speaks about a spiritual body, he's talking about a body that's fully responsive to the Holy Spirit. We won't just say the Spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. No, we'll be all in. Let's do God's thing. And everyone will say, yeah, let's go. Isn't that going to be wonderful? We won't have sin to hold us back. You know, you won't wake up each day because there is no night. But if you did, it'd be kind of the day where you wake up and you say, I can't wait to worship and serve and praise you, God. And then when you went to sleep, though, you won't go to sleep because there is no night and you'll never be tired. You'd lay your head on the pillow and you say, oh, man, this is a great day. I followed you all day long. Praise God. Yay. That's going to be great. And again, we'll give the glory to him. Oh, thank you for all you've done and for allowing me to enjoy your presence and be with you. But, you know, having a spiritual body doesn't mean you're just going to float around because there will be an aspect of materiality. I don't know if it'll be like Jesus' post-resurrection body. He had scars, but he could also go through walls. Doesn't that sound cool? We do know Philippians 3 tells us our lowly bodies will be like his glorious body. But somehow we'll be raised as ourselves as well, except the ordinary, the irritating, the annoying will be done with. And our true you, the fully sanctified, the spiffed up by our good God, without any garbage in our life, will shine forever because of what God's done. 1 John 3 tells us, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. I can't wait to see him as he is, and I'll be like him to some degree. That's going to be incredible. However that works, I look forward to it. You know, this isn't pie in the sky. This is steak on the plate. It rests on the resurrection of Jesus. Because he rose, we will rise too. So what do we know about our bodies? They'll be imperishable, glorious, powerful, and spiritual. They'll somehow be real. They'll be like Christ somehow. They'll be permanent and indestructible. And we won't get bored. There'll be always something to enjoy and explore. We know that every good and perfect gift is from above. So you can bet that the new body you're given is going to be just right. You're not going to complain about your nose or your knees or your bald spot or bunions. You know, they're going to be like, wow, God, you gave me the body you wanted me to last in forever. And you knew exactly what you're doing. By the way, when he gave us these earthly bodies, he also knew exactly what we're doing. But we don't always get with the program. We are always comparing or looking or complaining. But we need to say, well, Lord, you knew what was best in this life. But we will fully recognize it in the next. Well, it said that Benjamin Franklin, when he was 23 years old, he wrote an epitaph for himself. I don't believe it was actually used on his tombstone. And I know that Franklin's spiritual beliefs are kind of a matter of controversy. What did he believe about Christ or not? But this is the epitaph I think he wrote. The body of Benjamin Franklin Printer, like the cover of an old book, its contents torn out and stripped of its lettering and gilding, lies here, food for worms. But the work shall not be lost, for it will, as he believed, appear once more in a new and more elegant edition, revised and corrected by the author. We will rise from the dead, revised and corrected by the author himself, never to die again, for those who put their faith in Christ. I think that's what it means to say, I believe in the resurrection of the body. We will have new bodies, and that is going to be great. Well, but there's more, and I won't get my water. But what brings us to the next thing we can look forward to, I believe in life everlasting. We get new bodies and never-ending life that our bodies were perfectly designed for. You know, people are afraid of lots of things. Spiders, snakes, closets, clowns, COVID, you name it. But the thing we don't have to fear is death. We will face it, but it has been dealt with decisively. And in a blink, we'll be with God. You know, there's lots to say about eternal life. I'll keep it short. I won't go on forever. But John 5 says, I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who has sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He's crossed over from death to life. Believing and trusting in Christ leads to life with God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus our Lord. One very interesting passage was recorded when Jesus was in the upper room the night before his crucifixion. And he said this to his disciples in John 17:3. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you've sent. Fascinating definition. Jesus says eternal life is knowing God and Jesus and knowing me. This is not just getting to know some Bible trivia or some random Bible doctrines. This is really to know and understand and have a relationship with God. You know, I know for some of you, you may say eternal life and knowing God. It sounds good, but I kind of thought it'd have a little more pizzazz to it. The key word is the word know. It can mean, I know Uncle Harold. So do I. Yeah, he's the guy that lives down on Rogue River Drive, and he's kind of, okay, well, whatever. But what Jesus is talking about, knowing more in the terms of Adam knew Eve in Genesis. That doesn't mean he said, hi, Eve, how you doing? No, he had a very personal, intimate relationship with her, and 10 months later, out popped Cain. That's how they knew each other. It was intimacy, there was connection, acceptance, enjoyment. And that's the kind of knowing God Jesus is talking about. We are going to be on the closest terms imaginable with the God of the universe, and it won't be weird. He'll be our best friend forever, and yet still our Lord and Savior and the object of our worship. We will be so tight with him, tighter than any human relationship we can begin to imagine. That is going to be great. Well, you know, if you know Jesus, you already have eternal life. It doesn't start when you die. It starts the moment you become a child of God. John 3:36 tells us, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Doesn't say we'll get it, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, but God's wrath remains on him. Believes, has, that's present tense. You don't have to wait for it, it's already yours. No matter what happens to you, you've got it. John 10, I give them eternal life, they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. Once you've got it, you have got it as a gift of God. But it's only for those that belong to God. Matthew 25 says, then they will go to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Eternal punishment, eternal life. The choice is really presented unto you. Will you follow Jesus, make trust in him for your salvation, or are you going to try it your way? You know, we tend to think of eternal life as meaning living forever, and it doesn't. Eternal life is life that goes on forever. It has no beginning, no end. The everlasting life we receive, though, has a beginning and has no end. Only God has eternal life because only he is eternal. But Christians, we get everlasting life, which will go on for the rest of eternity. And it is going to be true living. Jesus said, I've come that they may have life and life to the full, abundant, whole, blessing. I mean, being in absolute perfect harmony with yourself and with others and God as well. What was lost in Adam will be completely restored. All will not be just right with the world, but everything in the world. We go on, you know, I want to encourage you, even though eternal life starts now, don't wait for heaven to start living. Jump in with both feet to knowing Jesus. The more you enjoy him now, the more you will later. And life can be so much better here than we ask or imagine. This does not mean you're going to be healthy, wealthy, and wise in this life, but you will have a friend who's closer than a brother for all time and eternity. Remember, it's not about some random Bible passage. Knowing God is that close relationship with him. And where we'll spend the next chapter of everlasting life is going to be amazing. Revelation 21 and 22 gives us glimpses. I'll read, and I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There'll be no death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order has passed away. He goes on to say, I'm making everything new. He's the beginning and the end. And to the one who is thirsty, he will give drink without cost from the spring of eternal life. There'll be no more night, no need for light because of Jesus. The Lord will give them light. The effects of sin will never impact us there because it will be done with. And those blessings will never cease. That is incredible. The Living Bible puts Romans 1:17 this way. The good news tells us how God makes us right in his sight. This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scriptures say, it is through faith a righteous person has life. The only way to life is through Christ. If you want a new body, if you want never-ending life with God, instead of facing his wrath for eternity, look to him. People, we have things to look forward to. Don't lose sight of that through the smoke and your fog glasses, through your mask and the troubles around us. Our God wins. He's coming back to get us. We'll always be with him with bodies and minds that are fit for our life everlasting with him. It's going to be glorious. Don't forget, the best is yet to come for believers. Let's pray. Lord, there might be some people here who I'm not sure where they stand with you. They don't know if they have eternal life. They don't know, may not have confessed their sins. I pray that they would do so. For those of us that have, help us to confess our sins each day and make sure we're right with you constantly and filled with your Spirit. I pray you'd help us to live in light of eternity, how long of a stretch that is going to be, but how good it can be if we're with you. Thank you, we'll be getting new bodies. Thank you for never-ending life that's going to be better than the day before. Lord, help us to rejoice, no matter what's going on in this world, that we belong to you and you are your God. We give you thanks and praise. Amen.